You're 8 hours into a 17-hour flight. You're somewhere over the Indian Ocean, and the person two rows ahead of you just reclined their seat into your kneecaps. Again, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar today. We're talking about something that hits different when you're a pilot, because we know what's happening up front in that cockpit. We know how long these legs really are. And if you've ever booked yourself onto one of those ultra-long-haul routes, Singapore to New York, Auckland to Doha, Perth to London, you know that where you sit can mean the difference between arriving ready to function and arriving as a shell of a human being. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. So here's the question. When you're looking at a flight that's 15, 16, even 19 hours nonstop, is premium economy good enough, or does the jump to business class actually change the experience in ways that matter? Simple Flying just did a deep dive on exactly this, and the differences go well beyond what most people think about. Let's start with the obvious one, space in premium economy. You're typically getting a seat that's about 19 to 20 inches wide, maybe 38 inches of pitch. That's better than the back of the bus, no question. You've got a little more leg room, maybe a footrest, and on some carriers, a leg rest that folds out. Decent. Now, business class on these ultra long haul birds. We're talking about seats that convert to fully flat beds. 6 feet or more of sleeping space. Direct aisle access on most configurations. A door or a privacy partition on the newer products from carriers like Qatar, Singapore Airlines, All Nippon. Some of these suites, and I'm not exaggerating, are larger than the crew rest area. Here's what you need to know if you're weighing this decision. On a 5-hour domestic flight, premium economy is a perfectly rational choice. You save a significant amount of money and the discomfort is manageable. But the math changes on ultra long haul when you're airborne for 16 or 17 hours. The ability to actually sleep flat changes everything about how you arrive. And I don't just mean comfort, I mean cognitive function. Alertness, your ability to drive a car, or if you're repositioning for work, your ability to perform at the other end. The service differences are real too. Business class on these long routes typically means a multi-course meal service. We're talking about appetizers, a main course, cheese, dessert. Some carriers offer dine on demand so you eat when you want. Premium economy gets an upgraded meal compared to economy, but it's still a tray. It's still on the airline schedule, not yours. Lounge access is another factor. Business class tickets almost universally come with lounge access at departure and sometimes on arrival. Premium economy? On most carriers, you're on your own in the terminal. Now, some frequent flyer programs and credit cards blur this line a bit, but on the ticket alone, that's the reality. And when you've got a 3-hour connection in Doha or Singapore, a lounge with a shower and a hot meal is not a luxury. It's infrastructure for surviving the trip. Let me talk about this from a pilot's perspective for a moment. Those of us who fly for a living understand fatigue in a way that most travelers don't think about. We know what 12 hours in a seat does to your body. We know what crossing 8 or 10 time zones does to your circadian rhythm. The airlines themselves invest heavily in crew rest facilities on these ultra-long-haul routes, precisely because they know fatigue is a safety issue. So when you're buying a ticket for yourself, think about it through that same lens. What condition do you need to be in when you land? The price gap is significant. We're often talking about 3 to 5 times the cost of premium economy to sit in business. On some routes, that's the difference between $1,500 and $6,000. That's real money. But here's the thing, the gap has actually been narrowing on some routes, especially if you're flexible with dates or booking through points and miles programs. And some carriers, particularly in the Middle East and Asia Pacific, offer business class products that genuinely justify the premium. We're talking about the Singapore Airlines suite, the Qatar Q suite, Japan Airlines on their 787 Dreamliner routes. One more thing worth mentioning, the ultra long haul market is growing. Airlines are adding more of these routes every year as aircraft like the Airbus A350-900 ULR and the Boeing 777X extend what's possible nonstop. That means more competition on these routes, which historically has been good for the premium cabin product. Airlines differentiate on their business class because that's where the margin is. So if you're a general aviation pilot thinking about this, here's my take. You wouldn't fly a 12-hour cross-country in a seat that doesn't recline. You plan for comfort and fatigue management on long legs because you know it affects performance. Apply that same thinking when you're buying an airline ticket for 17 hours over the Pacific. Sources today from Simple Flying's breakdown of the business and premium economy comparison on ultra long haul. Worth a read at Simple Flying if you want the carrier by carrier details. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly smart, rest well, and I'll see you on the next ATIS.